Church in Sauk City. This is 99.7 FM WRPQ Baraboo. We take you live to St. John's Lutheran Church in Baraboo for the Sunday morning worship service.
Good evening and good morning to people in TV land. Couple quick announcements before we greet each other. If you're watching online, please remember this weekend, if it's snowing, to continue to support Christ Church. And a big fellowship event is coming up. Play games of Bunko. You can watch Pastor lose games to 10-year-olds. That'll be fun, won't it? Okay. Greet one another in the Lord. Say hello to somebody you haven't seen in a while. A couple Sunday people showed up here today, and that's probably good, even though they aren't new to this. All right. We are in the season of Epiphany, where the Lord begins to appear to his people, where he comes to be with us and show us his power and his glory, which is found in his grace. Today we're going to see how he calls us to faith. We begin our worship with the first hymn, hymn 797, I Know My Faith Is Founded. Hymn 797, I Know My Faith Is Founded.
We invite you to the Sunday morning worship service from St. John's Evangelical Lutheran Church in Baraboo, Wisconsin. St. John's is a member of the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod and proclaims the Word of God to a confused and uneasy world. Let us now prepare our hearts and minds and ask the Lord's blessing on our worship this morning. Pastor Timothy Kuski will bring us the message from God's Word, speaking on the scripture reading from John 1, 43 through 51, Come and See. Our congregation will open the service by singing hymn number 797 from Christian Worship, I Know My Faith Is Founded. Hymn number 797.
Thank you.
Please join us on page 388.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Confess our sins. God is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Let us confess our sins to the Lord. Holy God, gracious Father, I am sinful by nature and have sinned against you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have not loved you with my whole heart. I have not loved others as I should. I deserve your punishment, both now and forever. But Jesus, my Savior, paid for my sins with his innocent suffering and death. Him I pray, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Our gracious Father in heaven has been merciful to us. He sent his only Son, Jesus Christ, who gave his life as the atoning sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
In peace let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, you gave your one and only Son to be the light of the world. Grant that your people, illumined by your word and sacraments, may shine with the radiance of Christ's glory, that he may be known, worshipped, and believed to the ends of the earth. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated for our lessons. Our first lesson is from 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. It's a very special thing for God to speak to us. But what we need to remember is that he does speak to each of us. He calls us to faith. Now, Samuel had been a believer along the way, but how amazing it is and how important for us to listen when he calls. The boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord in the presence of Eli. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Prophetic vision was not common. Now it happened that Eli's eyes had begun to grow dim so that he could not see. Once, when Eli was lying down in his place and God's lamp had not yet gone out, Samuel was lying down in the Lord's temple where God's ark was. The Lord called Samuel. Samuel said, "I am here." He ran to Eli and said, "I am here, since you called me." Eli said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. Then the Lord called once more, "Samuel." So Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "I am here, since you called me." He answered, "I did not call you, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel had not yet experienced the Lord's presence. That is, the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel for the third time. So he got up and went to Eli and said, "I am here, since you called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the young man. So Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down. And if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went at one, and once again lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there and called as he had at the other time, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We continue with our psalm. It's Psalm 139. We're doing F, which is in your Psalter. So get the gray books out to page 759. The Psalter 139 F is what we're going to be doing on page 759.
Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was
Our second lesson is from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, starting at verse 13. God reminds us how he chose us. It's so important for us to see that the work of the Spirit is through the Word of God and the sacraments, he makes people into believers. We read from 2 Thessalonians. But we are always obligated to thank God for you, brothers, loved by the Lord, because God chose you from the beginning for salvation by the sanctifying work of the Spirit and faith in the truth. For this reason, he also called you through our gospel, so that you would obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers, stand firm and hold on to the teachings that were passed along to you, either by word of mouth or by a letter from us. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and in his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and establish you in every good work and word. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please rise for the gospel acclamation.
Coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world." Alleluia, alleluia. Alleluia, alleluia.
Our next lesson is from, our gospel lesson is from John chapter 1, verses 43 through 51. Here God uses the voice of others to bring his gospel into their hearts, the news of the Messiah being here. God calls us through that word. You read from John 1. The next day, Jesus wanted to leave for Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the hometown of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nathanael said to him, "Nazareth? Can anything good come from there?" "Come and see," Philip told him. Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said about him, "Truly here is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered, "Before Philip called you, while you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus replied, "You believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree. You will see greater things than that." Then he added, "Amen, amen, I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." This is the word of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
Please be seated for our next hymn, "Speak, O Savior, I Am Listening," hymn 631. "Speak, O Savior, I Am Listening."
The congregation at St. John's of Baraboo will now be singing hymn number 631 from the Christian Worship, "Speak, O Lord, Speak, O Savior, I Am Listening," hymn number 631.
Christ says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you." See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. That kind of hits a neat concept, the idea of darkness, ignorance. That's what he's talking about when God talks about that kind of darkness. It's an ignorance of God's grace and mercy that comes only in the gospel. And yet we have a story here where God revealed that in some really strange ways. But in the end, it all comes back to this, that God calls us through the gospel. Jesus himself said, "Come and see," to those before, and Philip went and did exactly the same. We read just a couple of verses from our text. Nathanael asked him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered, "Before Philip called you, while you were still under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Darkness. This is... I just have this wonderful story. I was in, of all places, Baltimore, Quebec. Everybody knows where Baltimore, Quebec is, right? It's a town of about, 50 people. It's a little farming town, way north of the capital of Canada. And we have a little preaching station there. It's in a French area, and yet they let me preach in English. And while I was there, I would have to give catechism to these kids at a farmhouse. And there's one night, I'm coming out of the farmhouse, and it's the middle of winter, and there's cloud cover, and there's a light on the back of the house, and as the light went out, it was a strong light, it made a nice sharp line all the way, you know, from the edge of the house. Unfortunately, my car was parked on the other side of that line. I was about 2 feet from my big monster Delta 88, and I could not see it. I could reach out, okay, I'm going to slip on this ice. And I had to touch it, and then I had to find where the lock was, put the key in wrong, you know, all that good stuff. Darkness is something that God has to deal with in terms of the way that people are born in that darkness, that spiritual darkness we call the sinful nature. And it's that kind of very dark darkness that is there. But we thank God that he sends people with God's gospel to enlighten us and bring us to know Jesus. And he does it in very simple ways, sometimes just by saying, "Come and see." It's interesting to see how Philip was found and began to follow. And the same thing happened for Nathanael, how he was found and he followed. We are in the context of Jesus just being baptized by John, and of course John's great quote about, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And in the King James it said, "Behold." Well, he's saying, "Look, let this enlighten you. Take a look at this and see how wonderful it is. It is the lamb of sacrifice that we need." That's what Philip heard. And he was there for likely days. In fact, we know he was there for at least a couple of days. And Jesus was there too, attending John's sermons, it seems, supporting and in a way copying, of all people, John the Baptist, because they both use the same theme, the kingdom of God is near. They were preaching the gospel. They preached the law to prepare their hearts to help people understand their ignorance. But then he also preached the gospel. Before Jesus would leave to go to a wedding in Cana, he wanted to have Philip along. He had chosen Philip from before time and in eternity. And so he called him. He found him. Christ found him, making sure that he was maturing even more by feeding his own soul. Philip was a follower of John the Baptist. He likely is the only one who had followed John the Baptist and became one of Jesus' disciples. These were men who were serious about their faith. It's an attitude like I want all our men to have in their own families. Gentlemen, God says to you, you need to be the spiritual leader in your house. I want you to find joy in knowing and following the word, just like Philip did. He took time away from his job to be down there with John the Baptist. It was a 2 or 3 day walk to take time at this not so nice resort that was along the Jordan River. These men knew their scriptures. These men found joy and relief in John's preaching that God forgives the repentant. He wants us to see that that darkness in our hearts disappears when that gospel comes. Men, be the spiritual leaders in your family. Stand up and keep growing and learning. Conform yourself to the example of these men whom Jesus called to himself. And teach your children to find joy in worship and interaction with God. This is so counter to our culture. We are the countercultural people now, worshiping our God. Let us learn to listen for Christ's call. Now, John would have spoken from the scriptures as he talked about these things, and I'm sure he explained and pointed out to Philip that the one whom Moses had promised had come, and so he knew his scriptures. And when he spoke about it, that's what he said. We found the one who Moses talked about. Philip was a little geeked out, man. This was something that had been coming for thousands of years. Moses was around at 1500 B.C., and now this was, well, around 33 A.D. Wow, this was really something. And this Messiah, although he is called a king in the Old Testament, he wasn't gathering an army. He was gathering people around God's word. He wasn't gathering weapons. He isn't ruling with might and threat and intimidation. No, he's ruling with love and grace. All this happened in the context of John the Baptist pointing to him saying, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Christ is a spiritual Messiah. That's what he calls us to follow. And what a confession in his invitation to Nathanael a little later on. Come and see, to Nathanael, is what he said. In simple words, in a loving invitation, he was already following the Lord, doing exactly what the Lord did to him. Repent, for the kingdom of God is near, he was saying to Nathanael. I get a chance to talk to people here at church who find joy in witnessing, seeing that people are coming because of them. One's here tonight. Lori's here. She does it with a lot of people. And I heard one from President Parcham the other day that he talked to somebody, and he was a little geeked out about it. He witnessed. He basically did what Philip and Andrew and Jesus did. He said, come and see. Take some time. Figure it out. And learn about your Lord. You know, I think everybody likes to see, you know, something happen when you speak about your Lord. But I hope you get in the habit of doing it. That you witness to somebody you love or somebody at work or a relative that needs to hear it. No one expects you to be some kind of theologian. No one expects you to be super smart about this, but keep it simple and invite. Talk about the scriptures. Talk about the joys you have in being connected to your Lord who invited you in, who called you. And be the one who is the voice of Christ calling them. So, we see Philip calling Nathanael. Now that is an interesting thing. I just want to hit an interesting trivia for you. Nathanael was never numbered among the apostles. But he may have had a different name, just like Simon had the name Peter, right? And Nathanael may have been Bartholomew, but there's nowhere where that connects the two.
except in extra biblical sources. So we're not absolutely sure that he ever became a disciple, he became a disciple, but he didn't necessarily become an apostle. And so it's interesting. But here he is. Nathanael is from Cana, and yet he's down by John at the Jordan. He's a serious man about his faith, too. And Philip says, hey, come check this out. Come and see. Right? Well, this way, God calls Nathanael and makes him found. And he follows, too. There's another part of this that we need to take up before we go much further, and that's the way that Nathanael answered Philip in the first place. But please understand, I think what you need to put in here is that these are two friends talking to start with, and secondly, Nathanael knew his scriptures, all right? And so Nathanael says, when Philip says, I've seen this guy who's what Moses talked about, and Nathanael said to him, Nazareth? Can anything good come from Nazareth? What he's saying is basically, well, in a way that kind of provoked Philip a little theologically, he's saying he knew that the Messiah was supposed to be born in Bethlehem, just like the people that told the Magi that he was supposed to be in Bethlehem. That's published a long time ago in Micah. And so it was a friendly debate. This wasn't necessarily a snide remark. And I think there's further support in the idea of how Jesus complements Nathanael's character. But I think it's important to see how today we use that phrase, can anything good come out of, We use it to be snide. We use it to be something that is spiteful and full of venom. There are people who are so proud of their own selves that they twist what Nathanael said and use it for worldly thoughts. But let us be a little more charitable to Nathanael. Let us understand that he can recognize the call of the Lord and that he can get along with people from Nazareth. And I know you can, because after all, you're putting up with a Lions fan, right, you Packer fans? So... all right, so Jesus compliments Nathanael's character, and, would he do that if this was some kind of sneer? I really don't think so. What Jesus said was, here's a man who truly here is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. Now, God... has an interesting way. He just wanted to engage Nathanael in conversation. He wanted to call Nathanael. That's the whole thing of this, isn't it? John takes a lot of time to explain all this about all these disciples who later became, some of whom later became apostles. And he wants us to see that God is the one who calls us from eternity and makes us his own. And it makes it even more special if Nathanael never did become an apostle named Bartholomew, because, it's not all about those who are really smart. It's not about those who have positions. It's about everybody, people who have a serious heart for the Lord. And God calls us to be his friend. God calls us to be with him. God in Christ was seeking Nathanael out. And you know what? He did exactly the same for you. God was watching him. God knew him to the core. And God loves sinners. So if he was being snide, he still loved him. And he loves godly men who admit that they're sinners. Nathanael was no liar. He asked the tough questions. And that's where I think he really was. He says, how can you be the Messiah if you're not from Bethlehem, but from Nazareth? And I'm sure he got the answer. You know what? That wasn't what got him, though. Jesus knew exactly what to say. I think it's interesting to see how God uses his power here in Christ Jesus. He knew exactly what to say to catch him and to see what would be the closest thing to have him understand that this was the Messiah, to reveal Christ and for him to be interested in coming and seeing. You see, Jesus has that wonderful little opportunity to know everything, his omniscience. And the first thing that Nathanael asks, according to our text, is, well, how do you know me? He says, I saw you sitting under a fig tree. Now, there's got to be lots of fig trees in the land of Israel. But I'll tell you what, fig trees don't grow in the Nile Valley, at least not very many. That's because fig trees like very dry earth that isn't very fertile. All right? And yet that whole valley is very fertile. And there just aren't very many dry spots, but there are a few. But Philip, probably being a good farm boy, found one up on a hill somewhere else, and there's probably some fruit under it. He's out there having a little snack from a tree that did grow in a dry spot, a little bit away from the flow of the Jordan. This would have been a rare thing. Oh, sure, there would have been some around. And, you know, the many pilgrims that go along there would have brought figs on their road, and, of course, the seeds would have been thrown out along the way. So very possibly a tree could be there. And it seems that caught his idea, because there just weren't very many out there. Jesus has that unique power to affect souls, to display his divine omniscience. And he did see him under that fig tree. And by demonstrating his omniscience, it caught Nathanael. Look at Nathanael's confession. You are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. This was impressive to Nathanael. Now, it's interesting to note that as we see Jesus talking about himself, he doesn't talk himself about himself as the Son of God. At the end of our section, he calls himself the Son of Man. Truly, he was the Son of God, and his demonstration of that by his omniscience was certainly true. And it's important to realize that there are many in the Old Testament that point out that this Messiah is going to be God and that he speaks for God. So that's neat to see. But it's also important for us to see what Jesus wants us to understand about himself. He switched that. He didn't deny that he was the Son of God. He didn't deny that he was the King of Israel. But he says, you'll see more amazing things from the Son of Man, he says. He wants to show his humility. He wants to show his love for his people. He wants to show that he's one of us. He wants to show that he calls us to be his friend and to be with us in glory. Christ is certainly the ideal man, the one with the closest relationship to our God. But he's also our example, that he wants us to understand that that's exactly what he wants for us. That even in our sinful state, we can have a closer relationship to our God through the Word and the sacraments, through knowing what he came to do. And isn't it amazing? We'll talk about this a little later on, how at one moment you see him acting like God with his omniscience, and the next he's a humble man walking to the cross. We'll talk about that a little later. Son of Man points out that he is the Savior. A Savior of more than one small group called Israel in Palestine. He is the Savior of all mankind. He came to be a son of Israel, and he came to be its king. But he is more than that. He represents us before God. He pleads our case at God's judgment, and he paid the price so that this would be his grace. He paid the price on the cross for our justification, for our freedom from sin and death and the devil. Nathan's confession realizes exactly where he stands before God, and really reflects what he had been learning from John the Baptist. Repent, for the kingdom of God is near. By calling him king, by calling him the Son of God, he understood where he needed to be. He understood he needed to bow before this God, put himself lower, recognize his divinity. That's an amazing thought. You see, Simeon in the temple wasn't the only one who understood the Old Testament scriptures. This was something that had been passed down for many years. Nathanael, along with people like that, were expecting a Savior who is God. What an amazing thought. And here's that amazing, mind-blowing thing. Look what Jesus says at the end of this text. He says, you think that was pretty good, huh, Nathanael? He says, you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree, but you will see greater things than that. And then he added, amen, amen, I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Those angels play a key part here. This is a reference back to when Jacob, who carried the promise of the Savior in himself, was fleeing from his brother because he thought his brother had threatened him with death, threatened to murder him. He was scared and alone and in the wilderness. And God gave him a dream of angels ascending and descending on him because he carried Christ in his genes. What an amazing thought. And Jesus references that and he says, you're going to see that too. I want you to think about an angel, the angels that are here with us right now. When they witnessed Christ, who was 1 minute sitting on his throne in heaven and the next, a humble baby in a manger. Here, the God who was spirit and ruled all things was now in a body. And even more, Satan was beset on him. And where was he going? The plan was to go to a cross. And then they look up and they see him there in heaven as well, ruling like he always was. What a joy to know that we will see what God has promised too. Christ has promised. The angels come and retrieve us and take us to glory. Why? Because we follow him. Hear the call of your Lord and be amazed at what he promises through Christ Jesus. I think it's interesting how John took so much time to talk about this call of Christ. You know, this is the distilled essence of God's will. God wants all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth, to get the ignorance out of their minds and to rejoice in the Savior who has displaced Satan and brought life and immortality to light again. We receive salvation through the preached word because through it, God calls us and makes us his own, creating faith in our heart. Let us hear Christ's call again and again. Let us learn to grow and mature in that invite and always be willing to come and see. Amen. Please rise. Be confident of this. He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Amen. We continue with our confession of faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated for our prayer of the church. Please join me in the responsive prayer. Loving God and Lord, you created the universe that surrounds us and the globe in which we live. You control all things through your Son, who sits at your right hand in glory. Comfort us with the promise of your eternal presence.
Give your word power as it works in the hearts and minds. Clear away our confusion and demolish our doubts. Send your spirit to strengthen both our confidence in your promises and our desire to live according to your will.
Take away our love of sins and restore us each day by your grace.
The signs of the times warn us that the end of time is near. Protect us from scoffers who sneer at your truth. Spare us and Christians around the world from all forms of hate and persecution.
Give us courage to carry the cross with patience and joy.
Instill in the hearts of our children a desire to follow you as they prepare for future days. Help them distinguish between what is passing and what is eternal, between instant thrills and lasting joy. Encourage more young people to prepare for service in the public ministry of the gospel.
Mold us and move us to be good examples for our youth.
Hold in your care, Lord, those who are experiencing physical or emotional pain and all who are afflicted by disease or facing death. Pour out your compassion on the grieving and comfort the mourners who miss someone they loved.
Move us to pray for these brothers and sisters and to help when we can.
Hear us, Lord, as we pray in silence. Whether we pray together or alone, you have promised to hear and answer us. Give us patience to accept your blessing in whatever way you send them. In your love and wisdom, prepare us for the day when you will take us to be with you forever.
Hear us for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Our offering is in the alms box. Let's continue with Christ, your footprints through the desert. This is the song we learned last week, and we will continue to learn it today. Look it up in your hymnal.
We will now sing Christ, Your Footprints Through the Desert, hymn 379. Hymn 379 in the hymnal.
Christ, Your Footprints Through the
Oh,
Almighty God, we thank you for teaching us the things you want us to believe and do. Help us by your Holy Spirit to keep your word in pure hearts, that we may be strengthened in faith, guided in holiness, and comforted in life and in death. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And we pray the prayer you taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look on you with his favor and give you peace. Amen. Please be seated for our next hymn, I Love to Tell the Story. Three verses of I Love to Tell the Story.
The Sunday Morning Worship Hour from St. John's Evangelical Lutheran Church in Baraboo, Wisconsin, comes to you at 10 a.m. each Sunday morning on radio station 99.7 Max FM of Baraboo, or streaming online at 99.7maxfm.com. We invite you to worship with us again next Sunday at the same time. The cable television rebroadcast of this service will be shown at noon on Baraboo Cable Channel 10 and TV 43. You may also listen to the sermon podcast on St. John's Lutheran Church and School's Facebook page at 9 a.m. on Sunday. The Congregational Quarterly Meeting and Pre-Call Meeting will be Sunday, January 14th at 10:30. A call meeting for the 3K teacher will be on Monday, January 15th. St. John's Lutheran School serves children in 3-year-old preschool through 8th grade. This broadcast was made possible by your contributions to the Media Ministry Fund, We thank you. Your letters and comments addressed to St. John's Lutheran Church, 624 East Street of Baraboo, will be greatly appreciated. The television producer tonight is Judd Strobel. This is Cindy Allen. May God bless you and lead you to a stronger relationship with Jesus Christ, our Savior. We encourage you to live for Him who died for you.
Olds beat pastor at games. Do the fellowship like we used to, really having person-to-person contact and not over electronics. Won't that be interesting? All right. Good evening to all of you. God bless.
You've been listening to the Sunday Morning Worship Service live from St. John's Lutheran Church in Baraboo.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Wind chill advisory for today. Wind chills will likely be between 15 and 25 degrees below zero. A mostly cloudy sky. Highs just barely above the zero mark. A gusty west wind. Tonight, mostly cloudy, will be colder than 10 below. If you owe back taxes, call Tax Solutions now. 800-281-8193. Right now, it's 2 below.
It's now 11 o'clock here on 99.7 FM WRPQ Baraboo. It's now time for Sunday worship from